The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Talkin' Cowboys. Streaming live from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
Handoff, Elliott plowing to the goal line. Barry, sacked by Lord. Prescott keeps it, and he bangs it into the touchdown.
And now, your hosts, Isaiah Standback, Patrick Walker, Rob Phillips, and Kyle Yeomans.
Go! Go! Dallas Cowboys!
It is the first Victory Monday of 2022 as the Dallas Cowboys get a big-time upset win over the Cincinnati Bengals, 20-17. The final score as the Dallas Cowboys avoid an 0-2 start. To start the season, they come out of nowhere, put up 17 points in the first half of action, and they get the job done at AT&T Stadium. This is Talkin' Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company. Glad you're with us here on this Victory Monday. Chris Beam in the back. We've got Rob Phillips, Isaiah Standback, Patrick Walker, and the door is open, and so is the mic channel at the moment, because we are talking the rest of the day about this Cowboys win. 3 points and a game-winning field goal from Brett Maher from 50 yards out. Winner, winner for the Dallas Cowboys, Rob Phillips.
The season lives. The season is
what
still
it feels
alive,
like,
after
right?
2 weeks. I don't think a loss would have ended things on September, whatever this is, 19th, but it kind of felt like that. You know, I felt like a lot of fans, the concern was you lose this one, and I read off the stats on Friday. If you start 0-2, it's not good since 1966, and even last year with 17 games, I think somebody told me it was 0-7.
0-7.
If you start 0-2, and the Cowboys got it done. I think resiliency is the term. That's the T-shirts they've worn since before the opening loss to Tampa Bay. I think everybody showed resiliency. Guys stepped their games up. I thought the coaching staff showed resiliency too. I mean, Kellen Moore took his lumps all week last week. Mike McCarthy did too, and you know they had a nice game plan for Cooper Rush. And he made plays. They made plays around him. And defensively, they've got the best player on the field. And when you have the best player on the field, hell, maybe the best player in the league by the time the season's over.
Yeah.
You've always got a shot. So, big, massive win.
NFL leader in sacks, Micah Parsons, Isaiah.
Yeah, he makes it look easy. These guys showed up, man. I guess what? The Rush train, he surprised the heck out of me. I wasn't a doubter, but I didn't believe that he can put these guys in position to win the ball game. And I knew that the defense was going to have to show up in a major way for these guys in order to be even have a chance. We saw that. Dan Quinn drew up a heck of a scheme. Cincinnati was exposed against Pittsburgh. I'm pretty sure Dan Quinn and his crew went to work on that in terms of running a lot of stunts and things of that nature that confused Joe Burrow. Got his attention looking at the defensive line instead of looking at the actual secondary. Found himself in a world of trouble. And then Cooper Rush just didn't make a mistake. And he didn't make a mistake. There's definitely some throws that I'm sure he wishes he had back. But overall, he drove the school bus. You know, he drove the magic school bus. I'm not sure what part of the body he went in, but he did a good job.
What?
Magic school bus. Sorry, it just came.
Why'd you have to make that the reference to magic school bus?
I don't know. That's what they
do. You couldn't have said like the red hair or whatever it was.
No, that's a red rifle. We already had the red hair.
Everybody's going left this morning. What's going on this Victory Morning? What's going on?
So
I tell you what. Let's sit that down for a second.
Okay, he's taking off the headset.
Oh, no.
Putting on the hat.
Yeah.
Oh, it's tiger milk.
Oh, gosh.
Did you bring a prop?
Oh, gosh.
My man brought props today.
Excuse me. This is refreshing. This is Lone Wolf W.
Is that strawberry flavored?
You should have dropped strawberry in there.
You should have
dropped
the
strawberry in there.
Listen, gentlemen, at the end of the day, what happened?
You look like somebody's uncle right now.
I am somebody's uncle. Look, Tigers, Bengals, whatever, Cowboys by three. At the end of the day, the Cowboys did exactly what they were supposed to do. They leaned on the run early. They remained consistent. They used the run to set up the pass. We saw Turpin get involved a little bit early, something that we were talking about we hoped to see in week two. We saw Cooper Rush be capable. True, he would like some of those throws back, dodged a few bullets, but not only was he capable, we talked about 5%. The 5% that we needed him to level up, that occurred on the final drive. CeeDee Lamb, Noah Brown. He made those throws. They made the catches for him. That's how you help out your backup quarterback. You make sure that you reel that ball in, put yourself in a position to win. Of course, you talk about the defense. We talked about it before. This defense that held Tom Brady to only one touchdown, I absolutely believed that they could hold Joe Burrow to 20 points or less, prediction being 24-21 in favor of the Cowboys. Now this is a defense that has gone through Tom Brady and Joe Burrow and allowed only two combined touchdowns between the two of them. Joe Burrow was held to under 200 yards passing.
Fact.
Jamar Chase, you know what? My problem with Jamar Chase is he has some issues with his technique. He's a little inconsistent, kind of hit or miss, right? I think he should probably improve upon that, especially when going against elite corners like Trevon Diggs, who can hold you to one catch on three targets for a total of 6 yards. So you talk about Parsons basically balling out. Talk about a player like Durance Armstrong stepping up huge in the absence of Terrell Basham, who's now on IR. But you also got to talk about Trevon Diggs both in coverage and as a tackler, that closeout tackle that set up the final drive for the Cowboys. It cannot be overstated how huge that was. The read, the reaction, the close, the wrap-up, textbook.
Which one's scarier, a caged tiger or a caged lion?
What are we talking about?
Or an uncaged lion?
It's always scary to be locked in with a caged Bengal unless you're a pissed-off lion.
He had two more sacks, up to four on the season. So
eight pressures by Micah Parsons alone.
I like the way that you kind of set that up, though, because it was – The offense got off to the hot start, but when the offense needed some stops from the defense because the offense struggled, and even though the offense didn't even really get a whole lot of shot, I mean, I think, what was it, 19 of their plays, or their total plays, they had 59. I think 19 of those were in the second half and 40 in the first half.
Yeah,
time of possession was heavy toward the defense in the second half.
The keep away game worked for a half, and then you know when Cincinnati goes on a 19 play drive, I think it chewed up almost 9 minutes. I looked at the stats after the game, was like, the Cowboys didn't win time of possession. Oh yeah, that's right, they didn't have the ball for like the entire fourth quarter.
The whole fourth quarter.
Yeah,
yeah. So the fact that when the offense needed the defense to step up, Isaiah, they got those stops on that side of the football. Micah Parsons, but it wasn't just Micah Parsons. You expect Micah to be Micah. But Durance Armstrong with two sacks. Dante Fowler Jr. with one sack, and he caused some havoc.
Absolutely.
Outside of just the one sack as well. Dante Fowler Jr. had a phenomenal game.
Forced a fumble that technically Micah.
Yeah, that controversial call in its own right that probably ended up in 3 points there. The other way around it, though, you look at Leighton Vander Esch, Trevon Diggs. I mean, these other guys outside of Micah Parsons stepped up. That's what you needed to happen. You needed guys to elevate, and they did just that yesterday.
The defense balled out. I mean, I still, you know, obviously, Kellen Moore is still trying to figure things out, and he's going to have to continue to figure things out with Cooper Rush at the quarterback position, because I don't think that anybody's sitting here satisfied with the offensive production when you start looking at these possessions. You know, majority of them were punts. A lot of them were, you know, we had a couple of field goals, one touchdown early, and then we really just didn't do a whole lot. We just didn't mess it up. Right? So the defense definitely ruled this game, and that's, I think, we all agree that they were going to have to do that. To your point, Durance Armstrong went ham. Fowler went ham. Micah went ham. You know, you saw Gallimore getting in there as well. These guys, Barr, did a heck of a job tackling inside the box, being participating in that front seven. These guys had a heck of a ball game, and they just made it difficult for Burrow. He just couldn't figure it out. And when you can have a quarterback looking at you as a rusher instead of looking down the field, it doesn't matter what receivers you have out there because they're not going to have a chance to get it off.
Burrow was physically frustrated early in the game. You could see it on the sideline. You could see it in his composure or lack thereof. He was over there just looking defeated as early as the first quarter. And the Cowboys wanted that to be the case when you talk about a young, as dynamic as Joe Burrow can be, he's still a young quarterback in this league. And if you delete the season that he lost due to a torn ACL, for all intents and purposes, you could say this is his second season, right? Yeah. A second-year quarterback going against a Super Bowl-winning defensive coordinator who has the personnel to attack you from every single direction at every single level, that's going to confuse you, in addition to schematically Quinn having the upper hand, right? So Burrow was flustered early, and the Cowboys just continued to build on that because the first one or two times they pressured him, okay, he's going to start questioning, can Collins protect me? Flashbacks of last week against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then you start to see the pressure come from the left side, Durance Armstrong, Dante Fowler. And now he's really starting to question if anybody can protect him. And then it started to rattle him.
four sacks in the first half. So Dallas got after him. But Isaiah, when you were looking at some of the scheme and the stunts, it looked like they were there was movement up front. There were a couple times when it was only edge rushers to one side, and then you had linebackers to the other side. There was no down linemen at the line of scrimmage at all. I mean, it was different looks. How complex was it from Dan Quinn to kind of keep Joe Burrow off balance?
He was doing a lot. We talked about it last week in the film room in terms of some of the things that Pittsburgh did, and they brought some of those same strategies over to these guys in terms of we have more weapons. I think they have more of an arsenal on the defensive side of the ball that Dallas Cowboys do in terms of them comparing to Pittsburgh. So he just utilized everybody. I mean, everybody's strengths. That's one thing that Dan Quinn does a great job of. He puts you in position to be successful. He doesn't ask you to do anything outside of yourself. Whatever it is that you do, do it well, and I'm going to put you in that position to do that. Dante Fowler, you go like a madman, like a little Tasmanian devil. I don't need you doing anything but just wreak havoc. Just cause a freaking scene in there. Cause some confusion. Dorrance Armstrong, guess what? We signed you to an extension. Go out there, use your lanky arms, run a stunt with freaking Gallimore, right, and these guys, we saw that these guys last week couldn't pick up the stunts. They didn't communicate well. This is a brand-new offensive line for Cincinnati, just much like Kansas City last year. First four or five games, it's going to take some time for them to figure it out. Well, unfortunately for them, they got to face the Dallas Cowboys within their first four games. But so before they figured it out, let's create some more confusion while they can't communicate. They did a great job collectively. I like to see Barr stepped up. I felt like Barr was more of himself in this game than we saw last week. And obviously that's something that you expect for somebody that didn't have a full training camp. That's something that you expect for somebody who's now within the system for a little bit longer. And he looked like he was more confident. He looked like he wasn't hesitating. He looked like he was actually reacting and starting to play the ball that we all known him to be able to play.
Yeah, Mike McCarthy shouted him out after the game and said that was Anthony Barr that we saw against He saw against Minnesota all those years, right? In more of a workload, more of an opportunity. Donovan Wilson stepped up. You know, Jayron Kearse is out for this game. He was really active with more snaps around the football. That's kind of his MO. And Isaiah spoke to the schematic part of it. One thing that was not necessarily complex is Micah Parsons lining up over Lyle Collins over and over again.
That wasn't by chance.
It wasn't forcing false starts, too.
Yeah.
Collins was shooketh.
That's the thing. That's the impact, and we can get more into Micah, but it wasn't just the sacks. It was forcing false starts. Mm-hmm. It was not even necessarily getting hands on the ball in passing lanes, but altering throws. Pressures. I think one of the pressures led to LVE's sack. He was absolutely everywhere, and he did line up in different spots. And, you know, they did a little bit this last year where they will line up Tank and Mike on the same side and maybe even Randy Gregory last year, and you're like, oh, gosh, that's nice. Well, they did a little bit of it last night. But Micah, just his imprints were on almost every snap, and to the point where they were bringing guys in the fourth quarter a chip here, a chip there. It was almost like he was getting triple teamed. And if you notice, they kind of moved him back into a linebacker role where he was blitzing towards the end, because that's the problem with lining him up on the edge all the time, is at some point, okay, you kind of know where he is.
And then he tweaked his leg too. That was a little scary.
And he got banged up apparently in the second half and was kind of limping off, but he was able to finish the game. He was marvelous.
A little bit of a thorn in his paw. But kind of circling back really quickly to Anthony Barr, last week when, you know, you asked me, how do you contain Joe Mixon? Whose assignment is that? Anthony Barr.
Yeah.
And Anthony Barr went out there and did exactly what I wanted him to do, what the Cowboys needed him to do. 61 snaps, which is 87% of the reps. And that shows that the Cowboys were expecting him to be an impact player in this game. And
they trust him with that workload, too.
Now you combine Anthony Barr, and we'd be remiss if we didn't, in addition to shouting out Anthony Barr and helping contain Mixon, let's talk about the big dogs up front. Neville Gallimore, Quint Bohanna, Chauncey Golston, Oso Odighizuwa. This is a team last week that allowed 127 yards or so, albeit no touchdowns, to Leonard Fournette. So the question was, fans start to have flashbacks. Oh, God, this run defense, it's still not good. Okay, Joe Mixon went off last week for the most part, 57 yards on 19 carries with no touchdowns.
Yeah.
This defense clamped down in both run attack or the run defense as well as pass defense.
I've got my pregame live note card right here. These are the notes that we had for our pregame show. Yeah, this is the receipts. I said, what kind of challenge does Joe Mixon bring to the Cowboys defense? Mixon had 145 scrimmage yards in week one. Leonard Fournette had 137 against the Cowboys. Who has to step up defensively? Barry Church, Isaiah Stanback, Nate Newton all said the linebacking core and the guys in the interior. Those guys stepped up. Quint Bohanna did what he was signed to do yesterday.
Yes.
He took up space, took up multiple blockers. created havoc so that way the guys like Dante Fowler Jr. could go on a stunt around the outside. The guys like Anthony Barr and Leighton Vander Esch from the second level could easily read the defense. There was one time, and this is where I really first saw Anthony Barr show up on tape. It was in the first quarter. There was motion from, I believe it was Chase going left to right. I'd have to go back and look at it. It's Chase in motion. I'm saying that just to a placeholder. And Anthony Barr pushes Donovan Wilson, says, get out there, get out the edge. He read it immediately, and he had already taken one step in the right direction before the ball was even snapped. Anthony Barr had already taken a step prior to the ball even being snapped because of the motion and because of something he saw, a read he picked up. Because of that, it ended up being a no gain. They forced him to the edge, got him to the outside. Donovan Wilson was the one that made the play, but it was Anthony Barr that was there saying, get out to the outside and get to the edge, because the Cowboys kept the inside contained. The edge was where Leonard Fournette and Tampa Bay Buccaneers got after the Cowboys, and they did not let that happen last night.
Yeah, you're right about the middle pressure, because it seemed like a lot of times Burrow just had nowhere to go. And I thought the speed of the front seven was really on display. I mean, I don't know how many clean pockets he had in the whole first half. I mean, maybe one or two.
Yeah.
And he, I mean, guys were swarming around him. We talked about their speed and their depth and their length. That was really on display in this game yesterday.
And the linebacker core, you know, Anthony Barr, obviously. Now you're talking about the football IQ that helped him become a four-time Pro Bowler. Last week you asked the panel, you said, well, did Anthony Barr have a good game or a bad game, because he wasn't mentioned in week one? And I said, I don't believe it was necessarily neither. I think you give him that week, game reps, week two, he should take a step up, and he did. And that also fueled guys like Leighton Vander Esch, who, in my opinion, had a solid game last week, had a great game this week. Seven combined tackles, a sack with the assist from Micah Parsons, who flushed Joe Burrow up into the pocket. LVE finished the job off, and then came the howl. We haven't heard that in a while. It was electric. I think LVE is potentially working back to, if he's not already there, Pro Bowl form. And if that is in fact the case, you have a Pro Bowl form LVE in conjunction with Anthony Barr, who might still be in Pro Bowl form.
Could be.
Micah Parsons is going to do what Micah Parsons does. The linebacker core is as stout as your safety unit. You talk about a guy like Donovan Wilson, had some struggles with injury in 2021, but was a breakout player in 2020. Donovan Wilson yesterday looked like 2020's version of Donovan Wilson.
He did.
And
yeah,
for a young guy who's now healthy and as great as he is at tackling, both in space and in the phone booth, as hungry as he plays, that's the kind of guy that I love the balance between his demeanor and Malik Hooker. Malik Hooker is much more cerebral in getting the job done. Donovan Wilson is that roar, that angry guy back there that just wants to bully guys. So I just, at every level, the Cowboys defense is stout, and they continue to show it. And this is a team that can win you games as long as the offense does just enough to not lose you the game.
And that's exactly the case, really quickly.
And they didn't have a takeaway either. Like, they can they can play better. They can play better than
did,
this because, well, yeah, they did. But they didn't. So they've, what do they have, one takeaway in two games?
Lying
and
against
they've
the
only given up one touchdown or two touchdowns.
Two touchdowns, one per game. That, you know, that means you, it's not going to be every week, but it means, yeah, you can play to your defense is what it's looking like.
Well, last year it was the takeaways were the mantra. This year, you're not giving up a whole lot of yardage. You held Joe Burrow to 199 through the air. You held Joe Mixon. Yeah, you gave up yardage in week one, but still you only gave up the one touchdown. You bent but didn't break at that point. I think there's a lot to build on with this defense. And we mentioned a lot of names there, just threw a bunch of them around because it deserves to have a lot of names thrown at it because a lot of guys stepped up and played well yesterday. But on the offensive side of the football, there was a similar type of reaction with Cooper Rush, Noah Brown, CeeDee Lamb, guys playing well. Dalton Schultz had probably his best game as a blocker, and I'm going to tell you why when we come back here on the other side of the break. Talking Cowboys presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
The Cowboys way, where 16 Hall of Famers and 5 championships shows us what success looks like. Where turkey is always the second best part of Thanksgiving Day. where we are all defined by one single thing, the star. Where we as fans know it's our job to keep the tradition going. Bank of America is proud to be the official bank of the Dallas Cowboys and to support the quest of living life the Cowboys way.
Copyright 2020 Bank of America Corporation.
Lil' Sweet!
Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil' Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
Nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate. I'm a broken traffic light. Stop and go is the name of my game. It's easy. You go, they go. What was it? They go, you go? And if you have the wrong car insurance, these repair costs could stop you in your tracks. So get Allstate's new low auto rate and be better protected from mayhem, like me.
Not available in every state based on coverage and limits selected. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. In most states, prices vary based on how you buy. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Today is National Voter Registration Day. NFL votes and the Dallas Cowboys encourage you to register to vote. Make your voter game plan today. Visit NFL.com/vote. All 32 NFL stadiums having an opportunity for you, setting up some kind of easy access for fans around the league to go and vote. So go do your due diligence. Get out there and vote coming up. Back here on Talking Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. Rob Phillips, Isaiah Stanback, Patrick Walker here on a Victory Monday. I'm Kyle Yeomans, and we joked about it in the break there, Patrick, because I did say the phrase, Dalton Schultz had his best game as a blocker, because he almost coughed it up,
right,
quite literally, with the fumble in the fourth quarter, Dallas driving, chance to put the game on ice. And then he fumbles the football, Cincinnati takes it, goes down, ties the football game at 17, and then all of a sudden you're in a completely different game than you thought you were previously. Outside of that, though, he didn't put up the crazy numbers as a receiver, but Isaiah, on Friday, we asked, what does Dalton Schultz need to do better in order to elevate? He elevated his game as a blocker, and ultimately that's what helped spring the Tony Pollard 47-yard catch, as you could say, that ultimately ended up in a touchdown.
He's in a contract year. And the thing is, you know, the one reason I believe that he didn't get the big boy contract extension that he was hoping for, he did get the franchise tag, is because they need to see evidence and proof that he can be that holistic tight end that they need for their offense. And we've seen his ability to receive the ball. We've seen his ability to break tackles at times. But I think the one aspect that he hasn't been necessarily dominant has been the running game. And if you're going to be a tight end playing for a contract year, then if that's the area that you need to improve in. If you're not going to have the greatest impact as a receiving tight end in that particular game, well, you got to show up some way, somehow, right? They're cutting you a pretty doggone big check. Hopefully you can dominate in the blocking, whether that be in the run game and you're ground and pounding somebody, or you're sitting back and you're keeping people off of your quarterback. So that's exactly what you saw this past weekend.
And really the reason I wanted to lead with him stepping up in a situation where he hasn't necessarily been comfortable is because he wasn't the only one that did that. There were a number of guys scattered throughout that offense that played exceptionally well in positions where they're not necessarily used to being. Noah Brown with five targets, five receptions, 91 yards and a touchdown. Rob, best game of his career by far, plus he had his first career touchdown grab. He stepped up whenever his quarterback, Cooper Rush, needed him the most.
It was Oxnard Noah Brown is what we saw on Sunday. He was the guy that pretty much, I mean, you could argue, you guys can argue with me, but top three most consistent guy on offense that we saw in training camp. Like,
sure.
Especially among the skill players. Just you know, getting behind the defense, finding soft spots in the zone, and laying out to make big catches. Those were catches that the Cowboys didn't make in week one, where, you know, Cooper did a decent job of leading his receivers, but sometimes they just had to go make a play. Mm-hmm. And he went out and did it. So really impressive. And I think he spoke to this a little bit after the game, in terms of, you know, he and Coop had played together for years. Yep. I mean, this is going back to 2017. They both came in together. And we talk about how Rush has had this familiarity with the offense. Well, so does Noah Brown. They have a connection and a rapport, and I think it showed up in this game.
The chemistry is no surprise between those two. I mean, both come in 2017. They've been with the organization for about, you know, better part of half a decade or more. But what I loved from Noah Brown wasn't just simply the obvious, which was the fact that in the first half he was targeted four times and caught all four balls. He was leading the team in receiving at that point. He had become the cool hand Luke that the Cowboys so desperately need in this wide receiver unit. But even when he kind of went quiet for a good bit after, you know, catching those four passes, and I kind of mentioned to Rob in the press box, I said, it's about time for Noah to make another catch, foreshadowing, yeah, because guess what he did with the 12-yard reception on that final drive that helped set up Marr for that game-winning field goal. But it was also the dirty work that he was willing to do on special teams and blocking in the run game. And when you have a guy who's leading the team in receiving yards, but equally ready on the very next play to say, you know what, I'm just as all in on blocking for Zeke and Tony as I was on running that route to get open. And then special teams comes around and I'm just as all in on being the personal protector as I was in blocking for Zeke and Tony as I was in running the route and getting open. Noah Brown, his willingness to get his hands in the mud, and dare I say his love to get his hand in the mud, it showed yesterday in all phases of the game, and it helps set the appropriate tone for a young wide receiver core that's looking for someone to look up to, someone that they can go week to week and say, you know what, that's the standard. Now, this is how we have to play. The standard is the standard, and that's the standard. And also, shouts out to CeeDee Lamb, who didn't have a breakout game yesterday, but 75 yards. He caught 7 of his 11. That's much, much improved over the 2 catches on 11 targets from a week prior. So also, shouts out to CeeDee Lamb for stepping up. But big, big, huge shouts out to Noah Brown for a magnificent game yesterday.
One thing more on Schultz, too, because you guys are right, but let's see what his status is for this week, because he didn't play on that final drive, tweaked his knee. He'll get reevaluated today. You know, it looked like he was trying to go back in. So I don't think it didn't seem like it was something serious. But hey, it could be something that affects him this coming week.
And he was leading the post game rally in the locker room.
Was he jumping?
I don't know that he was.
Did you get a good look at it? Did you get a good
torso shot?
Okay,
that's fine, I guess.
All right. Well, I need you to do more investigative journalism there, Patrick. If you're going to be a part of this podcast,
Roger that. More Tiger milk.
when you're looking at it, Isaiah, from a separation standpoint and the wide receiving core as a whole, it felt like they needed Noah Brown to step up because CeeDee Lamb's going to see a double team, right? He's going to see the majority of the look from whatever secondary he's going against. You needed that second guy to kind of take the pressure off of CeeDee Lamb. And it felt like, yes, they gave the ball to CeeDee early, got it in his hands, got him a couple extra yards. They screamed past on him or to him on the opening drive. Sure, that's all fine and dandy. But ultimately, you're going to have to get him down the field. Noah Brown allowed that to open up. Did him elevating give the rest of the wide receiving core a little bit of separation from what you saw?
Not really. I just think that he was that comfort food for Rush. Mm. And he's obviously been that for back-to-back weeks now. It's not just Rush. He was that for Dak as well.
Yeah.
So you're seeing his hard work. You're seeing his due diligence. You're seeing his work ethic, his consistency. You're seeing all that show up. The things that Rob just referred to in terms of what we saw in training camp. That's the guy he's been. He's been that around here, right? And there's, unfortunately, with a lot of organizations, guys just get buried. Guys are more than capable. When I was here playing, it was Miles and it was freaking Sam Hurd. I mean, guys just get buried. You know, they're really good players, but because of the primetime guys, you just don't get the love. So he is continuing to be there. I mean, you saw the chemistry that they had. You know, you talked about his willingness to do the special teams and the dirty work. Well, that's been his whole career.
That's true.
Right? That's all he knows. So when somebody asks him, "Hey, go over there and play special teams," he's like, "Okay, cool. That's what cool. I do. Like I'm leading the team or whatever." But that's not his mindset. His mindset is, "How can I contribute to this victory?" And he is a very selfless individual. And I love watching him play. I absolutely love watching him play. I don't think that he has alleviated any of the other problem areas that they have at the receiver position right now, because there still is not enough separation. There still is not enough being done offensively to – they won the game, okay? Let's call a spade a spade. You know, I was looking at their 10 possessions. They had 2 touchdowns, 2 field goals, 5 punts, 1 fumble. Okay, so they did something positive on 4 of their 10 possessions. So 40% of their possessions, they did something positive. They also were only 30% on third down. There's still some issues here. Okay, the defense cannot continue to just bail you out offensively, whether it's personnel-wise, Kellen Moore-wise, scheme-wise. They're going to have to figure it out. They got to start making some plays and sooner than later.
Valid points across the board from you there, Isaiah. What I would add is that the goal right now for this team is to avoid the icebergs in the water until you get Michael Gallup back, until you get Jason Peters on the field. Shouts out to the offensive line, who mostly played well as well, particularly Matt Farniok. Mm-hmm. He was effective early and mostly throughout the game. Until you get Dak Prescott back on the field, and, you know, Stephen Jones says, you know, it's possible to – yeah, no. but the goal is to stay afloat. So, yes, they have a lot to improve offensively. There were times, a long stretch of time, we were up there in the press box like, okay, you scored 14 on your first 2 drives. Where are you at now? Where are you? Come back. And all we saw was punt. They couldn't get it together. But when they needed to, there's the 5%. The 5% came into play. And it's not college ball, as we all know. Doesn't matter if you win ugly or you win big, just win, baby. Shouts out to the late, great Al Davis. And the Cowboys did that. And you look at Noah Brown, he's also showing you that he can be consistent regardless of who the quarterback is. Because between Dak Prescott, he was the team leader in receiving yards last week. Mm-hmm. He's also the team leader in receiving yards this week. 159 combined yards and a touchdown on 14 targets between 2 different quarterbacks. He's your cool hand Luke. And the rest just have to kind of catch up. But again, MG13 may be back as early as this week. We'll see how practice goes this week.
Yeah, that's kind of what we outlined as a scenario last time out, and we'll, of course, keep an eye on that throughout the week. But you mentioned the icebergs in the water. I want to talk about that on the other side of the break, because this is a good win. It's a great win, even, because you defeated a Super Bowl caliber team in Cincinnati. They were there last year. They could very easily get back there this year. Put them to 0-2, and you righted the ship. But just how week one was only one loss, week two is only one win. So there's a long season left to go, 15 games left, the other way around. When we come back, what's next for the Cowboys? How much confidence do you have now in Cooper Rush to be able to put this thing into hyperdrive here over the next couple weeks and see what the Cowboys can really do? When we come back with more Talking Cowboys presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company.
This week! Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way.
So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's on something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
The Medal of Honor is our country's highest military award for valor in combat. More than 40 million individuals have served in the armed forces since the Civil War. Fewer than 4,000 have received the Medal of Honor. The National Medal of Honor Museum will be a place to preserve these legacies and inspire America. It's being built right next door to the Dallas Cowboys in Texas. Help us honor our country's greatest heroes. Learn more and get involved at mohmuseum.org.
The Cowboys Way. Where 16 Hall of Famers and 5 championships shows us what success looks like. Where turkey is always the second best part of Thanksgiving Day. Where we are all defined by one single thing, the star. Where we as fans know it's our job to keep the tradition going. Bank of America is proud to be the official bank of the Dallas Cowboys and to support the quest of living life the Cowboys way.
Copyright 2020, Bank of America Corporation.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Whether you're watching from home or you're cheering in the stands with Essilor lenses, you can see every exciting play. Book an appointment at your local Essilor experts and see what Essilor can do for you. See more, do more, Essilor here on Talking Cowboys. Welcome back to the SWBC studios at the Star in Frisco. Glad you're with us. Was that over program, Beamer?
No.
It wasn't? Oh, we need to put that over program next time. I liked that.
It's a drop now, that's for sure.
It needs to be. Yeah, so right when we go to break, or come back from break, rather, every time, and we laughed at it last week because Chris Beam in the back, who does a great job with all of the podcasts, not just Talking Cowboys, he goes, he gives us the cue, and he says, go Kyle, go Kyle. Last week he did it real quick as he was like trying to like do 45 different things at one time, and we all kind of chuckled at it. He just had Isaiah's daughter do it.
Yep.
Sky got on there and said, go Kyle, and it was perfect. Fantastic. So
I like it.
Gotta love it. Next time, we need to start that. Maybe that's a Talking Cowboys tradition.
We do it.
Put it in program whenever we've got special guests.
Sky.
I like it. Final segment here of Talking Cowboys presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company, breaking down the Cowboys 20-17 win over the Cincinnati Bengals. They get to 1-1, but Isaiah, you can't give in to just the one win. Just how you couldn't give in to the one loss, you've got two divisional foes on the way, one of which the next one you face, that's 2-0 in the New York Giants. They haven't played very good teams. We'll talk about that later in the week. But you still can't sleepwalk through the next two games because these aren't gimmies without your starting quarterback in there as well. But how much confidence does Cooper Rush give you now? Now that he hasn't done it just once against Minnesota in Week 8 last year, but now he's done it twice with a win yesterday.
I'm hopeful, but I still haven't seen enough.
Okay.
I mean, I just haven't. I know.
He passed for 325 and two scores against Minnesota last year.
Yep.
And he passed for 235 and a score this year and commanded the offense.
Absolutely.
But you still haven't seen enough.
I personally have not. Just because I when I watch the game, you guys know as a former player and as an analyst, I see the what ifs. And there was about three or four what ifs yesterday that I'm just like, ooh, we lucked out on that one. Mm-hmm. Right. And I want to see those go away. I don't think that we had an effective enough running game to really alleviate some of the stress that was still placed upon him to put them in position to win. CeeDee Lamb stepped up when he needed to and made some big plays. Obviously, Noah Brown did as well. CeeDee didn't have the big stat line, but some of those late catches, especially in that last drive, that's where he was looking, and Cooper Rush found him and made the play. So kudos to him. But in terms of where this offense needs to be, we're nowhere near that, even with Cooper Rush as the QB. It's just not efficient enough. It's really, you can't look at this offense with the weapons that they have. I don't care who's not playing right now. You still have pretty doggone good weapons offensively. You still have a pretty doggone good running backs, you know, backfield. You have to do better. You have to do better than 30% on third down. You have to do better than 40% scoring on, you know, 40% of your actual drives. You need more.
Yeah, they were really good early on offense and late, that when they needed to be, because they really needed to be good early. He talked about that after the game, Coop did, because really what it did was it allowed the defense to start teeing off early and get to Joe Burrow playing with a lead. And then late, I think he was 3-for-3 on that final drive. When he needed to be really good, he was.
Right.
But you're right. I mean, they get two touchdowns early, then they go punt, punt, field goal, punt, fumble, punt, punt, field goal. Not, you know, not super efficient football throughout the day, but I like what you said about the running game. Like they were persistent with it. You know, they matched the number of carries that they had in week one by halftime. Clearly, that was an emphasis for them. If you want to call Tony Pollard's catch a run and add that to the rushing total, I mean, it was close. That would have put them over 150 yards rushing on the day. But they did what they needed to do to try to help Coop and give something around him. Right. And guys did make some plays around him. They had four explosive plays in the passing game, which more than one that they had in week one. But yeah, I mean, they're going now. Now here comes a road test, the first road test of the year. The environment's going to be different. It's going to be harder for the young linemen to communicate pre-snap. It's going to be different. And yeah, they're going to have to be more efficient than they were in week two and definitely week one.
My thing about it is multiple things are true because these things are not mutually exclusive to each other. Cooper Rush and this offense still has room for improvement, period. They started out hot.
Second half.
Went ice cold.
Yep.
And then they heated up again. There were errors that were made by Cooper Rush that could have easily been disastrous as far as interceptions
That's
are
true.
Concerned.
Yeah.
That said, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. Okay? And he was lucky in those instances. But that said, it's also true that this is now a guy who has won his first two NFL starts, amassed 560 passing yards and three touchdowns to only one interception in those two starts. One of the biggest question marks coming in was you had Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup on the field with CeeDee Lamb last year against the Vikings. That's a whole lot of weaponry. Can you win the game without that weaponry and only CeeDee Lamb? What does he do? Hey, Noah Brown, how you doing? How you doing again? How you doing over there? Pow, pow, pow. Use Noah Brown to get the Cowboys offense going when he knew that the opposing defense was going to key in on CeeDee Lamb. Was he perfect? No. Did he make the plays he needed to make when he made them? Yes. Was he lucky at times? Absolutely. But to answer your question, Kyle, I have now absolutely seen enough to know, to believe, I should say, that Cooper Rush can win you multiple games in the absence of Dak Prescott. And recall last week I said all he really needs to do is split this next four and then they'll feel out how Dak Prescott is doing at that point.
Yeah.
He's now 1-0. If he gets me another win and then loses two more, he still splits and he's still right where I'm fine with him, which makes him a capable quarterback. Obviously, you would love to see him go 4-0. It is going to be difficult on the road in MetLife. Young guys on the offensive line, Matt Farniok, Tyler Smith. Tyler Biadasz is not a veteran. He's still a bit of a young guy. Maybe it's time for Peters to be ready. Right.
Yeah.
For example, to kind of add that veteran. And of course, Peters being an NFC East guy, MetLife to him is nothing. Right. Cooper Rush. I mean, MetLife to Cooper Rush for the most part, although he wasn't the starting quarterback in those games at MetLife. It's not an environment he's unfamiliar with.
Yeah.
Zeke knows that environment very well. Tony Pollard knows it very well. CeeDee Lamb knows it very well. Flip the page. This defense doesn't care where they're playing. They're going after the opposing quarterback. And with that being said, I think it can be complimentary football. Yes, they can improve, but I have seen enough to believe that Cooper Rush can get the job done.
I'm really excited to see what this defense can do against Daniel Jones. And we'll preview the Cowboys defense versus the Giants offense on Wednesday. Horns. We'll flip that and we'll do the Cowboys offense versus the Giants defense on Thursday. But that's the thing about this stretch right now is we said it last week. If you could get one, two wins, you're feeling decent. You can still have a chance to save the season later in the year. Sure, you only get one win out of the four games that Dak Prescott's out. Makes it a lot tougher. Well, you've got one already in the book. Bang, got it. These next two games are very much so winnable games. You should be the favorite going into them, even without Dak Prescott, especially after the game that you played here on Sunday. But with that being said, they're not gimmies. They can't be gimmies.
They're not gimmies.
And Rob, when you look at it, you go 6-0 versus the division last year. There's a target on your back. You don't have your quarterback. There's going to be a target on Cooper Rush now because he's 2-0 as a starter.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, yeah, this division already looks better than it did last year.
No doubt.
You know, running the table is going to be more of a challenge than it was last year. I just think, you know, I think for what the situation they were in, that was about as good as you could ask for in terms of a complete team win. And you know, because yeah, Rush, he's going to have his limitations. He hasn't played a lot. They're depleted in some spots. It's going to take more of what they got on defense. And yeah, you guys are right. Like, it can't be superhuman from the defense every week, but they're going to have to raise that level of play continually. They need their kicker making 250-yard field goals. They need Kevon Turpin, flipping field position with, you know, two big returns. And
Brian Anger.
Let's talk special teams. Let's talk special teams.
Because Brian Anger was a complete beast yesterday. And huge, a lot of times that goes to commercial and nobody looks at it. Nobody thinks about it. But Kyle saw me in a freaking in the studio last night. Dude, I'm like, dude, Anger's killing it right now. Yeah. He's pinning these guys on the sideline. He's flipping the field of possession. I mean, he was putting them in some really tough positions to have to come out of, especially against the Dallas Cowboys defense.
Nick Eatman on his five plays that he does every game that the Cowboys win, he does like five hidden plays that made an impact that a lot of people don't talk about. His one of his top plays on there, and you can read it on DallasCowboys.com. He had the Anger punt before the final Cincy drive. Mm-hmm. So there's 2:13 left on the clock, and he coffin corners Taylor, the return man, inside the 8-yard line on his own sideline. He had nowhere to go.
And that's the thing. People don't understand the strategy with that. People think, oh, he just kicked it in, just landed right there.
No.
Heck no. As a punt team, you want your punter to pin them in the corner because they're either going – it's either going to go out of bounds.
Yep.
And it's inside the 10-yard line, you typically, right? That's what you're looking for. Or they're going to catch it right on the sideline, and they only have one direction to go.
Yep.
And your whole cover team is coming down there saying, I dare you to come out here if you want to. I'll tear your head off, right? That's your whole intention. So
he did it twice yesterday. It wasn't just the last one, too. He did it twice.
They better put some respect on his name.
And Anger's been doing this throughout training camp. I mean, he's
only a Pro Bowler.
Right. He's only a Pro Bowler.
But he only
one of the best two in the
best
world.
Kicker in single season Cowboys history.
And I know there were a lot of Cowboys fans who were asking me specifically when we were out in Oxnard, how does Anger look? Because fans are always afraid that there's going to be a regression or a step back after a guy has a great year, whatever the case may be. He came into training camp, and I tweeted out several times. I said, this guy's lethal. Like, he's lethal. You saw in a game situation yesterday, Brian Anger is lethal. Like, the way he dominates the coffin corner. That's what we call it, the coffin corner, because you want to bury your guy there. Flipping that field position was fantastic for the Cowboys. But I'd also be remiss if I didn't say the following, because going into this game, we've talked about the penalties for the Cowboys and can they clean this up? So a couple points, the primary point and the sub point. The primary point for that is, or the sub point for that is, they only had 5 penalties yesterday. And I say only with air quotes, but when you compare it to the possibility of having 10 or more, which is what they've become accustomed to, only 5 penalties and not many of those, less than half of those were pre-snap, you'll take that because that helped you get this win. But I look at the self-discipline, the difference in self-discipline between week 1 and week 2, and something completely stuck out. And I said this to you, Rob, moments after it happened, the Turpin return that helped set up the eventual game-winning drive. Go back and look at that film. On that drive, when Turpin goes to hit the sideline and turn upfield, Rico Dowdle is a hair away from applying a block to a defender, and you could see him process in a millisecond that this might be a block in the back foul, and he literally stops on a dime and pulls up.
Yep. Yeah.
If he makes that play, I know it's a judgment call on the refs. You've not been getting those judgment calls all day. Ask the guys who put any type of hand on Joe Burrow. In that moment, it took a lot of football IQ and self-discipline to say, you know what, me putting hands on this guy is not worth it because Turpin is already there. Let's try to, you know, set up this. So that self-discipline was evident throughout the majority of the game for a lot of Cowboys players. Also, shouts out to Terrence Steele. Came off a rough game in week 1 with, you know, 4 penalties, I think. Played mostly clean football on yesterday.
I thought he had a nice game. Absolutely. I thought the offensive line as a whole played better. And yeah, that's a good point. It's a good point. That's going to do it for us here on Talking Cowboys. But before we go, you know who else was lethal? Brett Maher.
Yeah.
2 clutch field goals, both from 50-plus yards, including the game winner as time expires. We thought kicking was a problem, and Brett Maher was at the bottom of the list. He came back, and he's shown you through the first 2 weeks of the season he has got things figured out, and he came up clutch for the Cowboys for a win yesterday. 20-17, the final over the Cincinnati Bengals. Be sure to tune in all week long. We're going to take your calls tomorrow here on Talking Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company. We'll talk plenty about Tiger Milk, I'm sure, as the week goes along. And then we'll preview the week 3 matchup with the Giants. For Chris Beam, for Rob Phillips, Isaiah Stanback, and Patrick Walker, I'm Kyle Yeoman saying so long. Thanks for joining us on Talking Cowboys. We'll see you tomorrow.
Go Cowboys!
Yeah!
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!